This recording is from FinTech Nexus USA, formerly known as London FinTech USA, held at the Javits Center in New York City on May 25th to 26th, 2022. It's from our keynote stage and is titled NFTs and the Creator Monetization. Speaking on this session is Catherine Porter from Meta, with moderator Adam Chernichaw from Allen & Overy LLP.
Hi, everyone. Today we're very fortunate to have Catherine Porter with us, who in her role as Vice President of Global Partnerships with Meta Financial has really been at the forefront of many of Meta's most meaningful and exciting projects in the fintech space, including NFTs, which we're here to speak to you about today. My name is Adam Chernichaw. I'm a partner at Allen & Overy. We're a law firm with offices in 40 countries. And in my practice, our team helps our clients, like Meta, negotiate the acquisition of financial technology or partnerships and integrations of financial technologies and digital technologies into their platforms, products, and services. So without further ado, hi, Catherine.
Hi, Adam.
Could you just tell us a little bit about how you arrived at your role at Meta, a little bit about your career trajectory?
Absolutely. So I've spent 20 years in consumer technology, worked for companies like Google, LinkedIn, OpenTable that was purchased by Booking. And the root of that is two-sided marketplaces for me. But more recently, in a two-sided marketplace, there's always the underpinning of payments. So when I came to Facebook, it was Facebook then, 5 years ago, I've spent the bulk of my time working on various payment projects. Started on the crypto blockchain team, which is where Adam and I have worked really closely. The Allen & Overy team is outstanding. But also in the traditional payment space, you all are very deep in working with clients in traditional payments, and my remit as Meta has grown its payments platform. We're calling it Meta Financial Technologies, so MFT. And I took on last year the traditional payments part of what we do. And that extends across all of our apps. So when you think about Meta, you're probably more familiar with the applications of Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, Messenger, Oculus, where we go in AR, VR. So it's been an exciting journey at Meta. Have learned a ton about how do we think about scaling traditional payments, new innovative payment technologies in the industry and to all of our customers and our merchants around the world.
That's great. It's cool. Meta launched its digital collectors program on Instagram this month, and it's currently in the testing phase with various NFT creators. Can you tell us a little bit about the digital collectibles program and what Meta is trying to, or why Meta is trying to get into NFTs or entering the NFT space?
Absolutely. So tokenization of digital content, we know is here to stay. The Web3 economy is not going away. One of the things that I love about working in consumer technology is you really need to follow where the best engineering talent in the world is developing. And right now, that's absolutely in the Web3 economy. And Meta believes very passionately in the future of this economy meeting new surfaces like the metaverse, hence the new name. So when you think about what is available today as technology to start scaling into the opportunity that is represented ultimately in the physical world meeting the virtual world, it is around tokenized content. So Meta has to be there. And it was really exciting to launch NFTs on Instagram. If you think about what a company like Meta can do to really buoy the Web3 economy, it's first around discoverability. So I'm an avid Instagram user, and when I look at my Instagram use, you know, greater than the majority of it is really around lifestyle discovery, travel, restaurants, fashion. That's what's interesting to me. And tokenization of content is now available because of blockchain technology. And so we have new art new music, new ticketed events, new film, new short video. All of this content is what Meta already provides for discovery today. And now we need to be the technological innovators and the business innovators to help underpin this economy that is here and is not going away. So that's true for consumer discovery, but it's also true for the creators. Creators, if you think about what Meta does best in the world outside of consumer discovery and sharing, is supporting merchants, anybody who has a business, to sell online, sell digitally. Now we can do that for the artist. And we can do that in a way where the artist can do what she does best, which is create. And Meta has an opportunity represented by what we've just launched and where we'll go with Web3 technology to take the tokenized content that an artist has created and she's minted and she's now distributing for discovery on a platform like Instagram. We can help her create a real business around that. So all she has to do is continue to focus on her artistry. And we take care of the opportunity of building a business platform that monetizes for her. If we do that well, then Meta has meaningfully contributed to overall GDP that will be created by this economy.
Well, that's really interesting. Also, that's really cool. What do you hope to achieve or see during the testing phase? And if all goes as you hope, where do you see the program evolving?
You know, I think what we're already learning is, how does this scale? I love witnessing, you know, as an Instagram user, witnessing since we've launched NFTs on Instagram, how this can scale for our creator economy. There's a wonderful story about one of our creators, one of our first creators. Her name is Elise Swopes. So she's at Swopes on Instagram. And she's an artist who really believes powerfully about giraffe preservation. So she has a Somali giraffe foundation that she minted art about giraffes on through this NFT collection. And within minutes, when she posted her content on Instagram, it sold out. And that's, going back to my point around discovery, that is what is really revolutionary about being able to distribute on a platform like Meta's, is so much of art has been relegated to either personally, linearly, directly getting out in communities and, you know, really coming face to face with your consumers. Or it's been about expensive agency and really relegating distribution to other third parties who are responsible for distributing your content, but then there's a loss of profit there. So to be able to provide the ownership for the creator on our platform and have her directly meet new consumers instantaneously and then benefit monetarily from that distribution, I think we want, you know, back to your question about what we want to learn, we want to understand, how does this scale? How can we make this, how can we educate consumers about the easiest way to discover content that they love and own it? It's also about the ownership. And for creators, we want to help get them comfortable in the business of being an artist of any kind, a creator of any kind, throughout our platform.
Mm-hmm. And just to segue a little bit into the Web3 space, I mean, Meta and its various platforms are centralized platforms. Web3 is decentralized. How does Meta look at Web3 and how it could leverage it into the metaverse and it, and into the Meta platforms? And how will that benefit creators? And
absolutely. So, you know, when you think about what Meta is, I've been describing a platform. So we can take traditional technology that has built, you know, for billions of users of our platform and millions, hundreds of millions of merchants that exist on our platform. That is the traditional platform that exists today. But we can first partner deeply, which is why I'm representing today. You know, we built our platform on the back of partner technology that really is native to Web3. So if you look at how NFTs on Instagram work, that is the product of our company partnering with, today it's 4 third-party wallets that exist for digital collectibles. And I'm sorry, 4 blockchains and 6 third-party wallets. That the blockchains are for minting the digital collectibles and for the ownership, really minting that ownership of the digital collectibles. And then the third-party wallets are where you can hold money to purchase to then store your digital collectibles. And now what's possible is this traditional platform becomes the distribution lever. So the way that this works is that the creator has her Web3 third-party wallet, and it holds her digital collectibles that she's made, and she connects that third-party wallet and displays her NFT'd work just like she would a photo, shares it to feed, and then that relies on what we know today as our share and discover platforms, and first with Instagram, and you can imagine that it'll eventually extend to Facebook Reels and on through AR and VR, which we're actively working on. So it's this traditional meets Web3 is an opportunity to start scaling it today. And then there's so much more back to what we'll learn about what we can also build natively to advance the Web3 economy.
Yeah, and when it comes to the metaverse, you know, we're at the sort of initial stages. I know this is, right, Web3 is going to be evolving. But for a financial services space, what financial services partners do you expect to sort of be the first movers? How do you expect them to fit into the metaverse? And how do you expect financial services within the metaverse to evolve?
This is where it's really exciting. I mean, talking about sort of the traditional meeting the new. So you just work backwards from the funnel that provides NFTs on Instagram and use that as the example. You know, I mentioned the blockchains and the third-party wallets that already exist. And we need to do more in financial services to expand the reach of blockchains available and third-party wallets available to provide the most content possible for consumers to discover and for creators to monetize. So that's kind of the first fundamental layer of working in this Web3 world. But then all of the traditional financial services that power payments in the physical realm and what we know today have to be adapted and are being adapted for this environment. So I just came back yesterday from Tel Aviv. I was, MFT has a phenomenal set of engineering and product and business talent in Tel Aviv. And I went out to work with the team there for a few days and met with some partners on the ground around, you know, when you think about just pockets of protecting consumers and merchants and bringing the safety and compliance and mitigated risk to this community, that is a segment of financial services partners that will be incredibly successful as they adapt their business models to meet the opportunities and challenges of Web3. It's the same for, I mean, you and I have worked for years on off ramps. So when you think about taking traditional local currencies, fiat, and you know the currency of Web3 is largely cryptocurrency. So how do you safely, with compliance, process those transactions, put money into wallets to be spent, and take that value out again? There's a traditional processing layer there that has to advance for this economy. And the third area that, and it goes on and on from here, but another area that I'm really excited about and have believed in passionately is that it can't just be companies like Meta. So what we bring to the table is billions of users, full stop. And we have peer companies around the world, global companies, local companies, that look like we do with their own communities. Web3 is about community. And so there's interesting partnership when you think about coming back to this Web3 orientation as technologists and as business people who are really about the opportunity to scale. How might a company like Meta partner with other like-minded and similarly looking companies in their locations to create the scale necessary to make this a reality? That's a massive opportunity for kind of traditional meeting Web3 and working together to make it as big as it can be.
And just to follow up on that a little bit and to maybe give you some final thoughts or allow you to express some final thoughts as you're in your role as head of global partnerships in Meta, what do you think how are partnerships important in the digital asset space and for what Meta is looking to do?
You know, I think partnership is best when you're going farther, faster together. And that requires a lot of deliberate thought as you're partnering about what business objectives are you achieving importantly and in a much bigger way than what you can do on your own. How can you technologically integrate and develop together in a way that makes the end product better and more fitting for your potential users? So fundamentally, partnership that I really relish, and you and I work so closely on the long-term negotiations that get past some of the competitive issues and the privacy issues and the IP issues that underpin going into business together. That's what you're doing. Once you get past that lengthy, protracted, sometimes exciting stage, you really then get to go to work and get to the fun part of launching joint technology, launching joint business practice, and meaningfully scaling a new economy. So going back to the partnerships that exist in this space and where I get really excited, certainly for anybody in this audience that wants to partner with Meta as you're hearing this, please reach out to me. But it starts with those who are already native to Web3. And that scale, as far as cryptocurrency-oriented wallets, digital collectible-oriented tokenized wallets, that is an opportunity for new technology to partner with a company that's had the benefit of almost 20 years of scale in the world, and join up. The commitment, though, of any kind of technological endeavor, business objectives, means that you really are committed for the long term in this environment. So it's not a short-term win. This is something where we really need to ask for technological resourcing, for go-to-market investment, for marketing strength, for thought about how you advance the business model so that you're incentivizing the creators who are merchants and the consumers to be participating in this space. You have to make that experience easy. And when you talk about ease, you have to think in a new way about traditional financial services have a lot of friction that's inherently a part of protecting consumers and merchants. But when you're reinventing, how do you think in a new way about the services that you provide so you remove some of that friction, you make it easy for consumers and merchants to adopt? These are all the new topics. I mean, you and I spend so much time with potential partners and ultimately our secured partners about late into the night, the conversations about how do we do this in a new way? And how do we do this together? And then really emphasizing that long-term commitment on getting to scale, on getting to frictionless growth so that this is a reality. I guess to sum it up, the partnership is both a meaningful vision for what's possible to create, but even more important is the long-term commitment to launching, iterating, evaluating, and continuing to scale. And I think if, you know, any of you in the audience or anybody eventually watching the tape has an interest in working with Meta, we'd love to hear from you and are willing to be your long-term partners in this environment.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for stopping in New York from your trip from Israel on your way home to come and speak to the audience. I thank you so much for your insight. It was very enjoyable for me. And thank you to the audience for attending. I hope you found this as interesting and fun as I did. Thanks.
Thanks, Adam. Bye, everybody.